Hey, Laurel.
Hey, Sean. Hey, have you seen John anywhere?
He said he was going to be back here in a bit to just sit tight and we'll record the podcast when he gets back.
Okay, sounds good. Oh my gosh, what is that?
It's smoke and
so
lasers
bright.
And I've never seen anything like it.
Hello, Sean. Hello, Laurel.
John?
Is that you?
Well, yes and no. I'm not the John you know. I'm future John from the future.
Oh my gosh, are you saying that you've seen the future? You've traveled through time? Imagine what you could do with that power, what you could do for humanity, what we could learn from you. Why are you here?
Well, I'm on a mission to tell you about some things that happened in the year 2020 in Wisconsin politics news.
That is a...
a very specific mission.
A somewhat narrow use of your time traveling powers, but, you know, we got to record this podcast and that's almost perfect.
Yeah.
Well, let's do it. This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm future John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week, we look ahead and behind to 2020. All right, just to lay out a few ground rules here to protect the integrity of the time-space continuum, I can tell you some things about the future in Wisconsin politics news in 2020, but nothing definite.
So you're not going to tell us who wins the World Series or the Super Bowl or anything like that?
Well, I did bring back this sports almanac, but I can't show it to you.
Okay, you could just set it right over there and it'll be fine.
I just want one of those cool hoverboards. Did you bring one of those?
Or the shoes that you just press a button and they collapse on your feet. These are all back to the future
references. A hoverboard with the election results on the other side. That's all I want.
No.
Yeah, it's great that you came back to record a politics podcast, but you didn't bring those back. Very good. One quick thing before we get going here, future John. And I mean, I find your... you know, human cyborg form to be very impressive, right? And your voice it's amazing, but it might be a little distracting for a podcast. Do you have some kind of a modulator that can help you sound like past John, the John that we knew before you traveled in time?
Why, yes, Sean, I do. Let me dial it back a little bit. There, how does that sound?
Oh, John.
It's our past John.
Wow. Even though I know you've seen so much and our world is so unimpressive to you because you've traveled through time, I feel like you're with us again, good old John K. Wilson.
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, good. I'm glad you had that modulator.
This is good. Comes in handy.
All right.
So for you guys looking ahead at 2020, what are some areas that you might want to know about? What are you wondering about?
Well, man, we have this legislative session that we have to cover.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about the legislative session, future John?
Well, it might wrap up in February or March.
Ooh.
Oh,
man, that's insight you won't get from somebody who hasn't traveled through time. You know, I understand you're protecting the time-space continuum there, so I'll respect that you haven't given us an exact adjournment date there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, because word is that we might have a brief legislative session, and that would be kind of in keeping with recent sessions around the Capitol, especially because this time around we have a Republican legislature and a Democratic governor, and they can't seem to agree on very big things together. So it's possible they will wrap up quickly. Is that maybe what you're getting at?
Yeah. I mean, what are you thinking are some of the big things that might be looked at in the last few months of session?
I know you're asking us questions, but I just have so many questions for you.
I feel like this is, he's just toying with us. Like, what do you think is important, Sean and Laurel?
Just rest assured that in the future, all of this makes sense.
Okay.
Well, I mean, if I had to guess, I suppose, future John, I would think that maybe part of the legislative session would be talking about the property tax cut that Senator Fitzgerald said Republicans are working on.
He did, in fact, float that in the past.
And right now, all we have to go on with that is just Senator Fitzgerald saying it at an end of the year press conference. But I think the way that things tend to work around here with the Republican legislature is when one of the leaders says we're going to be looking at a tax cut of some kind, it's like that door is open and it doesn't shut, basically. They're going to pass something almost. I'd like to go back through time. John, maybe you could, or you don't, are you, do you travel in the past? Or, well, he had to come. He came back here.
I can travel anywhere I want, but I'm not sure you guys are up to the responsibility of time travel yet.
It's very possible. And it's hard for me to like stop thinking about you as a time traveler here. But I think if you went back and looked at Republican control over the past decade, probably every time that a leader says like, hey, we got to look at some kind of a tax cut, they usually have some kind of a tax cut that they pass.
The difference this time, though, is a Democratic governor, right? Mm-hmm. So we know that Governor Evers has vetoed a tax cut or, yeah, an in blah, 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 blah.
What is it? Do you have a voice modulator to translate Laurel's words?
It was an income tax cut.
Right. Yeah. There were competing tax cuts in the last budget cycle where Republicans proposed theirs and Evers proposed his. We don't really know what this property tax cut's going to look like.
But my point was Evers vetoed that.
That is right.
So he has a history of vetoing tax-related proposals that come through the Republican legislature.
And it's an election year, and that tends to color that tends to promote tax cut proposals from the legislature, it seems like. And I think just from a political standpoint, they'd probably be okay if it passes or gets vetoed in a way. If it passes, they can say this is something we did. If it if you know, the governor vetoes it, they have something to point at him and say, look, you know, Governor Evers is standing in the way. But you know, it's weird speculating like this, especially with somebody who's seen the future. He knows how foolish we sound, but we just don't know much about this property tax cut, if it's going to happen. And we don't know. So if the state pays for a property tax cut, which is one way they can do it, essentially they buy down the local property tax levy. That costs real money from the state. And that's money that either the state isn't saving for, you know, a rainy day, basically, or isn't spending on other initiatives, like, I don't know, like a mental health initiative that the governor wanted or homelessness funding. You can always frame it. And when you're talking about spending state money, if you spend it on this one thing, you're not spending it on another. So we don't know how that debate's going to play out. But
well, and the other thing that could come up is a big part of the previous tax debate was using money that was kind of a one-time pot of money for the income tax cut. Governor Evers didn't like that. He wanted like a sustained funding source for that. So if that comes up again where, you know, an increase in tax collections or something comes in, could that be pushback in a similar vein, like saying there isn't a long-term way to fund this property tax cut?
Yeah, I think that could always be pushback, sure. I mean, the state is spending a lot just built into its annual budget now to buy down the property tax levy. It's a huge part of the budget. So that's an ongoing expense that the state has. And if you add to that, then
it's taking away from the other things
in future budgets. Right now, the state has like a large balance compared to usual years, but that could go away quickly if there was an economic downturn. So it's just so embarrassing to talk about this with somebody who knows how it turns out, but that's our best.
Don't worry, Sean. In the future, we've gotten rid of all judgment.
Oh, wow.
That sounds great.
Why would you ever come back, man? That sounds great.
He's here to help us. All right. Sort of, guide by us. Being passive aggressive.
So you're like Rufus, and we're like the wild stallions, more like, maybe.
I really don't get that reference.
You guys need to watch Bill and Ted's. Come on. It's an excellent time travel movie, okay?
Is that like a silent film?
Shut up. Get out of here.
That was a good one.
Go back to the future, you cyborg. Okay, new topic?
So I can tell you that there are some things that go on in 2020 in Wisconsin as far as electoral politics. Are there things that you guys are looking for in that realm?
Who wins? Who wins, Future John?
No, Sean. You know I can't tell you that.
Okay.
Unless you want to disappear from all of your family's photographs.
Okay. You know, Bill and Ted's is not older than Back to the Future, and you know those references, mister. Okay. So we do have some elections coming up in 2020 that we know are going to happen, and I think especially in April, there's going to be one election that gets a lot of attention potentially and another election that potentially flies under the radar. So depending on how the Democratic primary for president plays out, we could, in our April primary in Wisconsin, have a lot of attention being focused on the Democratic primary for president here.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for us to predict that because we don't have your powers, and it's January, and these races can develop fast, and you know there could be a one-person race by April for all intents and purposes. But if it's a competitive Democratic primary for president still, people are going to be watching Wisconsin. It's going to be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
During that same election, we have a race for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which many people don't even know exists, you know, I don't think that's even hyperbole. Like it just, the Supreme Court does not cross people's minds, and it's a low turnout election generally.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you've got a primary for president, it's going to play second fiddle.
Yeah, but it's on the ballot. It's on that same ballot that people going to vote in the presidential primary are going to have to make a choice in this. Well, I guess they don't have to, but it's going to be in front of them to, you know, make a decision about who they want to be on the Supreme Court for the next 10 years. And it's our job as the, you know, politics nerds to sort of say why that race is important, right?
It is. I mean, and it's a 10-year term on the court. It's mm-hmm. really important, definitely. If you look at all of Governor Walker's agenda, a lot of the hot button issues went through that court. A lot of stuff right now dealing with Democratic Governor Tony Evers is going to go through that court. And this is, again, a 10-year term, so really important. So if there's a Democratic primary, the challenge for Democrats, it's sort of a built-in advantage for them because they're going to have a lot of Democratic voters going out to the polls.
Mm-hmm.
But these races for the Supreme Court are officially nonpartisan.
So nobody has a D or an R next to their name.
So people, unless they're informed about who's supporting which candidate, it's harder to do just kind of a party line vote down your ballot.
Right. So they will have the challenge of going out there and saying, vote for this person.
Mm-hmm.
Wink. Mm-hmm. They're nonpartisan, but we sure like them as a Democratic Party.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing I can tell you is that no matter who wins in the Supreme Court race, it's not going to change the ideological split of the court.
You used your power to travel through time to tell us that.
So many great...
That's a great tidbit. Well, you know, it's a 5-2 split right now. Conservatives have a 5-2 edge on the court, so... You can go travel through time to learn that it won't affect the makeup of the court, or you can do math and realize that even if Democrats were to flip this seat currently held by Justice Dan Kelly, a conservative appointed by Scott Walker, it would reduce that to a 4-3 conservative edge. And mm-hmm. so they can't flip the court based on this election.
Mm-hmm. So while we're talking about the Supreme Court race and why it's important, I think laying out some of the things that the Supreme Court is going to be deciding over the next several months would be a helpful way to kind of drive home why people should pay attention to who's on the ballot there. We have one of the lame duck cases challenging the lame duck laws that were passed before Governor Evers took office. That's the Service Employees International Union case. The arguments have already been heard in that case before the Supreme Court, so the Supreme Court will be ruling in that. We have a challenge to the governor's veto power, right? The magician's veto that we've talked about on the podcast. They'll be ruling on that as well. And it sounds like we're going to get some voter purge action before the state Supreme Court too.
Voter purge action.
Voter purge action.
That would be a case that is...
VPA.
Yeah. Way to make an acronym.
All right.
To get the hashtag going.
So, you can, those are probably pretty interesting opinions and dissents in those cases.
I can tell you guys are going to be really interested about how all of this plays out.
Oh, yeah. We probably we'll probably record 10 podcasts on this topic in the year 2020. You know the exact number, but please don't share it. So here's one question I had for you, future John.
Yes.
Wisconsin is hosting the 2020 Democratic National Convention in Milwaukee. How does it go?
It's a convention.
Thanks for the insight.
No problem.
A large gathering of people. Wow.
It seems like that might be one of the big Wisconsin news stories in 2020. Is it? Can you at least tell us whether that is the case?
It will be covered.
That's good.
Do they teach you in the future? Is there like a seminar on how to get around these questions?
You pasties just can't know certain things.
Pasties. You were one of us.
That's a kind of Danish in Britain, I think.
No, it's a little pocket that they have like root vegetables and meat that people in the UP would eat.
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
they actually sell them right across the street there at Teddy Wedgers. Yeah, next to the Capitol.
They call them pasties there?
They used to. Hmm. I haven't been in there in a few years, but yes.
They have pumpkin pasties in Harry Potter.
Well, are there things that you're looking forward to about the convention, or just the fact that it's happening and that it's going to be a big story?
I kind of think that when we're covering the convention and we're like inside of the convention fortress, which is what I imagine this will be, that it will sort of get lost and it'll be like a convention that could have been in any other city. Mm-hmm. I'm sort of interested in how we Wisconsin look under the national spotlight, because I feel like there's going to be a lot of stories from national media that look at things that happen in Wisconsin that we sort of take for granted or that we don't cover as much, maybe the media, you know, like in Milwaukee. I think there's going to be a lot of stories about the racial divide between Milwaukee, the city, and the suburbs is just so divided. So I think there's going to be a lot of coverage of that. You know, there's going to be a lot of coverage of the Wisconsin politics probably over the past decade, and whether we're indeed a purple state still or a red state, or I'm interested in all that outside speculation of us.
Yeah.
It's sometimes you can end up looking at yourself differently than you would have if Wisconsin reporters were the ones doing the stories.
It'll be interesting to see what the candidates and other people on stage at the convention talk about when they want to reference Wisconsin.
How do they pander to us?
Yeah. What are the issues that they choose to sort of bring out? And, you know, I imagine, are Democrats going to talk about Foxconn? Are they going to talk about election laws? Are they going to talk about...
How many cheese and beer references will there be to lead off these? Because they have these 5 minute speeches that people give at conventions. They're not like the top tier speakers, and they have, you know, they start out with a joke a lot of times, like "Hello, Wisconsin, loving your cheese and beer." Like, how many times are we going to hear that?
I can tell you there will be many brat references.
good. Packers references probably.
Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to all that. I am really curious how we will handle the influx of people, because Milwaukee is not an enormous city, and we're going to have an enormous number of people coming in for this convention, and the organizers have said, look, we've thought it all through. We're good. There's plenty of places for people to stay in surrounding communities. I'm just interested in like the logistics of how that plays out.
I mean, it's not too far of a stretch for me to say that there will be some confusion.
Whoa.
Oh,
wow.
That's intriguing.
That's the biggest thing that you've given us so far.
With some hotel rooms and parking spots and such.
It's very specific. Maybe we can avert this crisis.
We know to really lock down our parking spot.
We're going to call up like organizers of the convention. Look, hey, we were visited from our friend from the future. He says there's going to be issues with hotels and parking.
Yeah.
it's good. Click.
That's all we can say. And then that's a butterfly effect. And it's just the
media
rest.
Credentials revoked, and WPR can't cover the convention.
Maybe I've said too much.
All right. So suffice to say, we are interested in how this convention is going to go right in our backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they holding it here? Well, because we're a super important state in the 2020 election. That's why. Future John, can you confirm that to be true?
I can confirm that there will be a lot of attention paid to Wisconsin.
Hey, another little factoid there from the future.
Yeah, that's an unexpected twist.
Wow, people are going to be paying attention to Wisconsin.
Paying attention to Wisconsin.
Why is that? Why could it be? Well, we're always a close state, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very frequently a close state. But then if you look at the electoral math that won Donald Trump the presidency in 2016, he flipped Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. And so this is sort of like this very common school of thought right now that, okay, if Democrats flip Pennsylvania and Michigan back, which seems like a possibility, Trump can still win the presidency if he wins Wisconsin. Like, that's the way the electoral math would play out. And so there's a lot of attention paid to Wisconsin for that reason, and because all of our most recent elections have been decided by like 1%. So Tony Evers wins by just over 1%. Donald Trump wins by under 1%. Brian Hagedorn, our most recent Supreme Court victor, now justice, he won by like less than 6,000 votes. So under 1%. So we're going to get a lot of attention. So, Future John, I think that kind of wraps up our future podcast, but I really would like to know more about what's in store for us. I mean, does the podcast exist now that you're a cyborg living in a different time? You know, will we continue to have government and politics news to discuss? You know, what's going to be big in music and entertainment? There's just so many things I want to know.
Well, there's some things I can tell you and that I can't tell you, Sean. You know, the idea of a podcast itself is really kind of an early January 2020 phenomenon.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. Our days are numbered.
Okay.
You know, being tethered to corporeal forms in the universe is also something that's going out of style, but I can tell you a name you might want to focus on for a comeback could be Cisco.
Cisco!
Wow.
Oh, man, I did not see that coming.
Is he still alive?
I don't know.
Well, both yes and no.
Right, right.
Wow.
You're so wise.
He really left us with a pearl there. You know,
that's... Man, Cisco.
Well, guys, look at the time. Time for me to be getting back to the future, but it has been real.
Well, thanks for all the knowledge, Future John.
It's been good to see you in your future cyborg form.
Well, Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Laurel White is WPR's Capitol Reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
If you're looking for a glimpse of what things might look like for you in the future, I can tell you this much. You subscribed to get new episodes of the WPR Politics Podcast delivered to you almost every single week on Apple Podcasts, and you are totally satisfied. You even left a rating and a review to help other people find the show. You also go around telling folks that they can find the show on Google Play and Stitcher, as well as Spotify and many other podcast apps. And you often travel back in time to listen to past episodes at wpr.org/politics.